This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sean and RJ here, 105 through the Fan. I'm RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt, Peyton, and Aiden alongside. Commercial Free Expressway is here. We have a Rangers ticket giveaway coming up and Ask Reddit as well. And Bobby, we are going to be on the road on Friday, are we not?
We are. We are going to Keller Fire Station number one. This is my hood away from my hood.
Okay.
I love the people of Keller. Great folks out there. The Keller Indian softball team, we've talked about that, is the official softball team of the morning show. And so we're going to be out there at Keller Fire Station number one on Friday with Eric Chiafalo in attendance. We're going to have free breakfast from Whataburger while supplies last. We are also going to have, while supplies last, Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour aprons.
Yeah.
So for grilling season, just go on out there. It's going to be a good time. Have you considered yet what your next fire exercise might be?
Well, you got to see what they have available. Like, you know, one place had a course where I had to, you know, find a body and smoke.
I loved that one. That one was, I felt like, for you, your best performance.
Thank you. I like that one.
Could you go down the fire pole?
You know, I don't know. I don't see any fire poles anymore.
I think we asked them about it one time.
And they said they don't do that anymore.
That's not really
a thing. Like, I think the fire pole was like such a city thing where you had like those three-story brownstone buildings that they just converted into a firehouse, like on Ghostbusters. I don't think there's a, I have not seen a fire pole.
No, we haven't seen one in a single one that we've gone to.
No.
Did you see this, speaking of firefighters, did you see this mustache on this firefighter?
Yeah, is that real?
It is real. So this is,
Retired, right?
No, this is actually said he passed away.
Well, that's okay.
But it was sad. And so his picture went viral for this mustache, which I didn't think we were going to talk about this, so I would have sent this to you, Aiden, but now I'll just turn it around the show.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, so just search firefighter mustache. It's going to show up on Google right now. And so I did see that people were talking about it, and there were people like, should we be making jokes about the mustache in this photo, like given what happened? And to be fair, nobody from where he was said this, but there were a lot of different firefighters who said, you can see his face in this picture, and just knowing firefighters, any firefighter who would have grown his mustache out like that, that would have been what he wanted you to talk about. Like, this would be funny to him, is that he wanted you to admire his mustache in the news, with him being in the news. That would be what it is. I've never seen a mustache like that. That looks like something from Horton Hears a Who or something. I've legitimately never seen something go down that far.
I've never seen anything like that either.
But they did say, somebody on the Facebook last night said that needs to be a bet payoff for like me or one of the others soon. We just need to grow a mustache just like that.
That would annoy the hell out of me.
I don't think I'm capable of it. I know Peyton isn't.
That would, if my like the mustache part gets even a little bit too thick, I have to like trim it immediately. I just can't.
If it goes over my lip, I have to.
Yeah, trim it back. Yeah, I can't do it. So we'll be at the Keller Fire Station number one on Friday. Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour with those Sean and RJ Tolo aprons that we will have for you. So a couple of months ago, I'm pretty sure Micah Parsons said, I don't need $40 million. How's my life going to change with $40 million a year versus $30 million a year?
Yeah, what was it?
30, 40. What's the difference?
Yeah,
like 30 or 40 bucks.
And then he was talking about, you know, I mean, he talked about it as if it was less than 30 to 40 bucks. He talked about it like it was like, you know, $30 or, you know, $30 and it's a 20 and a 10 or, you know, $30 and it's three tens. Like, that's kind of how Micah sounded like he was talking about it. But boy, his tone seems to have shifted a little bit. First, it was $30 million. Then it was, well, you know, if I could just get me a nice plot of land and get me a lake house, I'd be happy. That'd be wonderful. Well, now it's moved on a little bit.
You would
bit
not
further.
Do well with a plot of land.
Huh?
You would not do well with a plot of land.
No. They would, you know, Stanley Kubrick would have to direct movies about my life after that. But Cowboys defensive end, this is from Pro Football Talk, Cowboys defensive end Micah Parsons is optimistic about getting a long-term deal done with the team. The question is when. Clarence Hill of All City reports that the Cowboys have yet to have real talks, quote-unquote, with Parsons' agent, David Mulugeta, though a deal could come together quickly if both sides are motivated. Parsons said at the end of last week he was unconcerned about not having a long-term agreement yet, adding he has spoken with owner Jerry Jones and executive vice president Stephen Jones around the team facility. It's coming along well, Parsons said via Hill. Parsons said late last season he didn't need $40 million annually, but since then, Browns edge rusher Myles Garrett and Bengals receiver Ja'Marr Chase reset the market for non-quarterbacks at more than $40 million. Parsons is expected to top the $40.25 million yearly average of Ja'Marr Chase. Parsons acknowledged that $40 million is real for him. He said, I just played these last couple years on $2 million and $3 million. I think if I had $40 million, I'd be the happiest man alive. You go from playing for the league rookie minimum and get that big of a jump, I think anybody would be happy. Then he went on to Twitter, started talking about some of the deals that have been getting done for players recently. He said, some of these agents don't have the best interest for y'all, man. Wake up. David Mulugeta has been showing it time and time again. It's sad seeing some of these players get violated by teams because of lack of decency and effort by their agents. Well, David is known for, I'm going to get you top dollar. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make sure you get every last bit coming to you. And so it does not sound like all this discount talk that we were hearing about Micah Parsons, which I think we all agreed we thought was largely, okay, let's talk. Let's see it. We're starting to see now that rhetoric's changing. And he sounds like somebody who is ready to reset the market and deserves to. Deserves to probably get the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL. He deserves to be the next one up. Somebody else will top him. But yeah, he absolutely has earned that with his play, I think.
Oh, he has. He has. Now it's just, do they want to pay it?
What do you think changed?
The market.
Do you think the market changed for, that's why he's changing the way he's speaking now?
Yeah, I mean, look, when the market
it's real now. We're on the doorstep. Money's about to come in, and you can say you don't want that extra $10 million a year, but when you're really staring it in the face, it's hard.
Yeah, that's part of it. And also, like, you know, he also hasn't changed his stance.
Well, he did say he only wanted $30 million previously.
Yeah, but that was when the market top was 35 for non-quarterbacks. And now that it's 45 for non-quarterbacks, to him, asking for $40 million
well, the top
is
of,
the same.
Top of the market for non-quarterbacks is 40 right now. He would just potentially reset it.
Oh, he would reset it at 45.
Yeah, okay. The market was set at 35. Yeah, it's now 40.25, and so he's gone from market's 35, I take 30, to market's 40.25, yeah, I need 40.
Yeah, I mean, he might settle for 35.
I do think the quote here that's interesting off of his Twitter, where he says, David Mulugeta has been showing it time and time again. It's sad seeing some of these players get violated by teams because of lack of decency and effort by their agents. That almost feels to me like Mike is saying, I've been shown the light.
Yeah.
I've had it shown to me why I need to go for this, why I'm deserving of it, and why these teams need to pay it out. And in all honesty, they do. It's that very famous DeMarcus Lawrence line in negotiations with the Cowboys, where when Stephen Jones started talking to him about, hey, we got this issue, there's this, we got to pay for this, and Tank told him, he said, that is your problem to figure out. That is not mine. My problem to figure out is my money. It is your job to figure out everybody else's.
Yeah.
So either you pay me my money or we split.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of one of the things that pushed it over at the end. And I think Micah seems to be getting a lot of that in his ear right now of just
the salary cap is their problem.
Them paying up, yeah, them paying other people is their problem. That's not yours.
Right.
You worry about you and you worry about the precedent you set for the people coming behind you. You do not take $30 million and these other rookies that are coming up that have big deals, give that as leverage to other teams. Go, market's this now. What do you mean? Market's this. Micah Parsons. You think you're $10 million better than Micah Parsons? Hell no, you're not. Micah, just signed that. You're signing 32. And that's something that the PA, we talked about this. I think the PA was not thrilled necessarily with the deal that got done for Osa. I think they think they wanted loyal. I think Osa wanted to be here. He got a big payday that he was happy with. I think the Cowboys got a deal that they recognized was
a
deal.
Absolutely happy with.
But was recognized it was a deal, but was probably still above what they initially intended to pay or what they wanted to pay. But the PA looks at that and goes, you left $6-7 million on the table. Like, we work for these guys to reset the market and push it up so that everybody's making more money in the end. Everybody's protecting themselves. This is a big risk playing football for your entire career.
Franklin, injury attorneys, fan text, 877-881-1053. Breaking news, they are not fans of Micah right now. that's the mentality of a lifelong loser in the NFL. Micah just got greedy. After seeing Jerry be unwilling to bring any tier one free agents, Micah would be an idiot to give him a discount, trade him. What changed for Micah is his agent talked to him. He's such a child. I can't stand Micah. He's not a leader. FFS, trade him.
Ooh.
You know what FFS stands
for. I do.
Let's see. It's why do the media always demean players when they discuss money but rarely discuss the billions the owners make?
I don't think we're demeaning him.
I don't think we're demeaning him at all.
In fact, I think we just said he deserves the money, and that's the Cowboys' problem.
It's the Cowboys' problem to pay him. It's the Cowboys' problem to pay everybody else. I don't believe that we mentioned that he was greedy at all.
No. I mean, get your money.
Now, some fans might, and this is where the tug of war happens, because fans are like, all right, are we – fans like – they want the team to succeed. You know, they want the player to take less money. I get it. Because the player takes less money, it means more to go around.
In theory.
But A, when the owner doesn't do that, and B, when you're not the player, and you don't have your hand in his pocket, you go get your cash. You don't worry about that. And also, if you're Micah, you might not be playing that long.
Not the way he's talked before. Look, Micah has said... We know this. Micah has several interests off the field. He is he's like head of football content at Bleacher Report, something like that. I mean, it's this official title of his. He's a podcaster. He does all these global trips during the offseason. Got a lot of different interests, and that has led to him saying before, I don't think I want to play much past 30. I think around 30 is when I want to hang it up. And there are a lot of people around the league and within the Cowboys, I think, who have said, believe him on that. They don't think he wants to play much past 30. There are others who think he's just talking. Like, he was talking when he said, I'll take $30 million. And now he's talking about 40. Well, but the reality is, he has talked about this a lot, and we've seen a lot of players hang it up earlier and earlier.
Puka Nacua just said the same thing yesterday, saying, I want to retire by the age of 30. And he came in the league at 21, so that would give him 9 years in the league. Like, that's what he wants. We saw Barry Sanders at 9. Jim Brown retired at 9. Calvin Johnson. The money is so great right now.
Gronk initially retired. He came back, but Gronk retired at 29.
Yeah, but the money is so great. You could get generational wealth, and you don't have to play into your 30s. Now, if you're a legacy player, like if you're like a guy who's like going to go to the Hall of Fame, or if you're a quarterback and you don't necessarily get hit as much, and you could still walk and have a conversation when you're 50, 60 years old, then stick around. Then stick around. But, I mean, if you're somebody who puts themselves into harm's way with their head or their body, and you can make, and you can amass generational wealth, which, what do we consider that? 20 million, 50 million, 70 million, 100 million?
Sure.
Right, it's different for everybody. But if you can amass that, why would you stick around?
It's funny.
In this game,
when we were grown up, what would you think of? I generally thought of like an NFL career. Like, if you were a really good player, I thought an NFL career was generally like 13, 14 years, something like that is generally how I thought of somebody's career going. I just want to go back to the 2014 draft. Okay, so that means max out 11 years. These are the guys from the 2014 draft who have now retired. And not just because of some of these are just they weren't very good, and so they didn't play much past 2019 or something like that. But these are guys who have retired who were good players at one point. Eric Ebron, retired. Taylor Lewan, retired. Aaron Donald, Kyle Fuller. Ryan Shazier was an injury, but Ryan Shazier on there. Zach Martin, who just retired. Ha-ha Clinton Dix, out of the league, retired. D. Ford. Like, this is, you're seeing more and more guys walking away from the game yeah. who were good players after 8 years, 9 years. And Puka, it's not so much them walking away at an early age. Now they're talking about it in advance.
Yeah.
Barry was surprising. Calvin Johnson was surprising.
Yeah, and you know, we've heard coaches constantly say, hey, if you the moment you start talking about retirement, you got to go.
Your eyes are already on the door.
You got to go.
When your eyes are already on the door and you've got your sights set on that, you've probably already checked out as a player.
And I bet you it happens for a lot of like people that as they approach like 60 years old, right? You can start to see retirement.
Yep.
And, you know, you're not necessarily thinking about today. You're thinking about tomorrow. I bet you that plays an impact. I don't know. But Puka is just another one of the examples of a player who, along with Micah, who is like, all right, you know what? I am not just a football player. And I want to have, he said he wants to have five kids. He wants a basketball team, man. He wants to have five kids. And he wants to be a part of their lives. And if he's got money to do it, dude, more power to you, man.
Let me find this stat really quickly. Because when we talk specifically about Hall of Fame level players, right? Because we anticipate that, you know, Micah Parsons is going to be a Hall of Fame level player. That's somebody who he's going to, you know, reach that point where he'll have played well enough and been there. And no matter what age he retires, if it's 29, 30, that'll be different. We had found this at one point where he retired at 29 years old, Rob Gronkowski did. And it was clear that it looked like he was going to make the Hall of Fame. He had made a number of Pro Bowls. Out of the 303 players, Chop, who made mm-hmm. five Pro Bowls or more since the merger, Rob Gronkowski at 29 was the second youngest to retire. Kenny Easley was the youngest. So that was 28, 29 years old. Not very common. Now you look in recent years, Patrick Willis, Dez Bryant, Rob Gronkowski, Andrew Luck. That was 19 combined wow. Pro Bowls and zero snaps in their 30s.
Wow. It's a lot. That's insane. A lot. And it's the new norm.
It is.
For some guys, I really think that's what's going to wind up happening.